Welcome back to another episode of American Liberty. I'm joined once again by my co-host there, Jake Dunowitz. And I want to start off this podcast with a little celebration for a candidate that just took his third state. I will say, you know, it was a tie in the first state, but really, realistically, there's a coin toss. So I'll give him credit for three straights. So this is for you, Bernie Sanders. Congratulations. Freaking Bernie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, you have to refer to me as Comrade Jake from now on.
Yes, Comrade Jake. We are on American Liberty. So Bernie Sanders wins again. I can't listen to more than a few seconds of that terrible, terrible music. We are not communists here. We're American patriots. But Bernie Sanders wins once again.
Sure.
He takes the third. Iowa, you know, was tied with Buttigieg. And, you know, they did a coin toss. So I'll give him that. I mean, realistically, he probably won. I know there's back and forth about the numbers. But right now, I'm looking at the results here. Bernie Sanders is 60% of the count is in officially. And he has all 10 delegates are for him right now. 46% of the vote he's holding at. 60% of the reporting in Nevada. Now, the caucus is weird. It's a little different there. I'm not familiar exactly how Nevada is different from Iowa's caucus. But it doesn't seem like a huge turnout from the numbers that I see. But I might be misunderstanding how this process works in Nevada.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what the previous year's numbers were.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Right now, it shows Joe Biden second place at 19.6%, zero delegates. Because I think Bernie has the majority right now. He's crushing everybody by almost 30%. He's beaten the second place Joe Biden. So 10 delegates. The overall delegate count, okay, this is according to NBC's website. Right now, Bernie Sanders sits at 34. Pete Buttigieg is at 23. Elizabeth Warren's at 8. Amy Klobuchar is at 7. And Biden, Joe Biden, the leader of the Democratic Party, is sitting at 6%. And, it's not looking good for Joe. I think Joe's done. I think he's finished. South Carolina is going to pretty much end him officially. But Bernie Sanders wins again. Jake, what do you think about this movement, this socialist communist movement
that we see going on? I think there must be – I think the Democrats are scared of him because immediately now they're talking about Bernie Sanders being supported by Russia. Now, we heard this, of course, with Donald Trump, which turned out to be mostly a farce. And, of course, this is going to be a farce. And we heard it from Hillary Clinton about Tulsi Gabbard, which is a farce. And, you know, it's funny, whenever the establishment gets afraid of a candidate that suddenly they scream Russian agent. I mean, you would think Senator McCarthy was back.
Right. I mean, I could see Bernie being a true Russian patriot. I mean, he took his honeymoon in Russia. He loved, you know, he came back from Russia back and talked about how wonderful the place was, how, you know, how everything was in place. Because let's be honest, if you get out of line, they'll just kill you, kidnap you, or bury you somewhere. But, of course it'll look nice because, you know, the government controls everything. And that is what he wants. He wants centralized control of your health care. He just put out a tweet talking about the cost of student debt and how everybody should not be broke in America. Let's get free tuition to everybody. Listen, I don't want to, I got three kids. I'm going to have to pay for the college. You know, it's expensive. I'm worried about that. Of course, I'm trying to save up money now. But realistically, free college doesn't mean that it's good college. Number two, the reason why college is so expensive is not because of these, it's because of the government. The government says we will back the student debt. The student loans, we 100% back them. Universities and colleges say, well, the government's going to back it. We're going to get paid. They get paid up front. They're not owed the money. You owe the government that student loan. You owe the bank that has that student loan program through the government that money. And there is no way to claim bankruptcy. Yep. That is why we have a problem. And the push that everybody has to go to college. So Bernie Sanders' plan, what do you think, Jake? Do you think that you're fresh out of college recently? What do you think about this?
You know, I think the problem with government-funded education And, you know, forget about, oh, I don't want to pay for that person's education, or we should all pay for our own education. Forget that for a minute. My biggest problem with the idea of government paid for education is that when the government starts paying for things, the government starts regulating things. And I think that's a scary world when the government starts wanting to tell you what to teach in college and what not to teach in college. And so once they start paying for my degree, well, then they have every right to tell me what classes I can take, what classes I can't take, what professors I should be taking, what professors I'm not allowed to take. And that scares me. You know, beyond what you hear in the news about, oh, you just need to work hard and pay for college. Fine, sure. But let's remember for a second that government money means government regulations.
And government, you owe in the government, so...
And of course, you're owing the government.
Yeah, they're never going to not get their money.
The government will always collect.
Yes, and if they can't get it through you, they'll get it through your kids. They'll find some way to get it back. So this was a big, big... Everybody was really hoping that Bloomberg would come in here. All the Democrats behind... that see how Joe Biden's been failing, has been saying, we need somebody to replace Biden and take the Democratic Party from going so far left that there's no point of return.
Sure.
Their hope was Bloomberg. Bloomberg got his teeth kicked in and dragged all over that stage. The first 45 minutes were brutal. He basically apologized and, you know, it did not look good for him. Elizabeth Warren went like nuclear and just destroyed everybody. And Klobuchar and Buttigieg were having a back and forth. But, you know, all honesty, Bloomberg, who I wrote a blog at AmericanLibertyBlog.blogspot.com. You can check it out. I said, would Bloomberg be the savior of the Democratic Party? And apparently, I am wrong. Apparently, he will not save the Democratic Party.
Well, I would tend to disagree with you, Kevin.
Just a hiccup?
I will be perfectly honest. I think the debates matter very little in the mind of the American psyche. Most people don't watch the debates. Most people couldn't tell you when the debate was or that debates are even happening. What matters is that Mike Bloomberg is spending money. And that money has him on every radio station, on every TV station, all over YouTube, all over anything you're listening to. And people every day hear the name Mike Bloomberg. That's what's going to matter. And whether or not it's good for the Democratic Party is a whole other issue. We could talk for hours about why Mike Bloomberg shouldn't be nominated and why Mike Bloomberg shouldn't be president.
Right.
But I still can see Mike Bloomberg being able to buy his way to the nomination.
Yeah, you know, I guess there's another debate Tuesday coming up. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I could see Bloomberg. First off, whoever he prepped with. First debate
was fired.
Okay. Yes. If he's not fired, they
shot.
He's gonna be gone.
Sure.
So we'll be safe to say that Bloomberg is researching somebody else to come in and help him.
Sure.
One thing I do give him credit for is that he called Bernie Sanders out in front of the world and said, "We are not getting rid of capitalism. You're a communist." That's basically what he said. He called him a communist in front of everybody.
Sure.
And he goes, "Oh, that's a cheap shot." But, yeah, it is what it is. We're about to vote in the first ever, because everyone says democratic socialist. That's just communism light. That's just a way to get – nobody wants to hear the word communism. It is communism. He is a communist. And now he's being backed by the communist mayor of New York City, who had him up on stage the other day in support of Bernie Sanders, the great Bill de Blasio, is now supporting Bernie Sanders. Bill de Blasio is a communist as well. So he was in Nicaragua supporting the communist regime down in Nicaragua in the 80s. So let's not get crazy. He is not, so him supporting Sanders is no surprise. I figured it would happen at some point. But we are moving in a dangerous direction. And I know that people are saying that no matter what happens, Trump's going to destroy Bernie Sanders.
Sure.
I don't want to really take that chance. The fact that there still is a possibility, as small or thin as it is, that if Bernie Sanders is the Democratic nominee, that we could have our first socialist light / communist light / socialist president.
Sure.
I mean, that's absurd.
Sure.
people are, is it because they're disenfranchised? Is it because they're disenfranchised? Is it because that they don't, I mean, people have upset that paying student debt that they can't get rid of, and it sounds really good, and people paying high costs at the hospitals, and it sounds really good, but people, don't be confused, it's government is the reason why it's so expensive.
That's exactly what it is, you know? You're not talking about we always talk about, and I've probably talked about this on here before, but we always talk about in the media, the lazy millennials, the entitled millennials, and the right talks about, well, that's why they're picking socialism, because they're lazy and they're entitled and they feel like they should just be handed things. But what I see is not laziness and entitlement. What I see is desperation. What I see is people who are hopeless about their situation, the situation of this country. They work and work and work and can't get ahead, no matter how hard they work. They're buried under student debt. They can't afford to go to the doctor. This guy, Bernie Sanders, presents them with a solution that completely overturns this our current system.
Right.
And out of desperation, maybe even necessity in their minds, they choose that. I mean, you know, around the world, the history of socialist movements around the world, you don't find lazy and entitled people, you find desperate people. You know, the Russians in 1917, the Russian Revolution?
Mm.
1917 were not lazy. They were desperate. They right. were starving to death. Right. And
they were hungry.
Exactly. And that's what's happening here. But people, let's talk about
people not starving to death here, Jake. People are not
sure.
I mean, as bad as it is, it's really still pretty good. I mean, we do have,
sure.
But I think a little bit off your point there is
sure.
there is, and you're right about this, the war on the establishment. I would say that Bernie is the war on the Democratic establishment, as Trump was the war on the Republican establishment sure. in 2016, and his establishment period, because Hillary is so embedded in the establishment
sure.
that it was the other option, and that's why he won. But I could see where people, what you're saying, and I would just tie it up with, it's the war on the establishment, the Democratic establishment. Tom Perez is, I keep on hearing that he should be fired, the Democratic leader of the Democratic
yeah.
Party. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I mean, they better do something, otherwise their candidate will be Bernie Sanders. Andrew Yang tweeted out the other day, now he's done. He's sure. with CNN as a correspondent, you know, with his okay. vast experience running for president. But he tweeted out something, and I commented. You can follow me at @KevWormhold on Twitter. Tweeted out his support for lowering the voting age to 16. Now, this is something that drives me crazy, because when I was 16 years old, I could honestly tell you I knew nothing about politics. I knew sure. nothing about what is best for this country
sure.
because I don't know anything. I'm 16 sure. years old. I think we're safe to say that most people, even in their 20s, really still don't know anything. Even early 30s.
Sure.
We're not really developed until a lot older. I mean, we still make young mistakes.
Sure.
16 years old, that's way too young. And I think it's more of this. An indoctrination, let's be honest, the public education system, high school especially, there is an indoctrination geared towards the left.
Sure.
Now, obviously, I'm sure when they're handing out their papers, and let's use New York City as an example, because there's talk of Andrew Yang running for mayor. I'll throw that in there, too. So, here's a piece of paper. This is how you register to vote. And just so you know, there's Republican and Democrats. Those, will be the only two options, they tell you.
Sure.
Don't worry about Libertarian, Green Party, anything else.
Sure.
So the majority of the parties are Republican and Democrat. And here in New York, mostly everybody's Democrat. But you get to choose. I mean, right there, you put it in their head. I sure. guarantee that is exactly how it will happen.
Sure.
And it's all about getting the base, the younger base, to vote Democrat. This is dangerous talk. I've heard this before from Mayor de Blasio himself in support of it. AOC, I mean, she's god-awful to begin with. And anything she says, the establishment is a problem. I get it. That they're all fighting the establishment, but they're fighting sure. the establishment with more control and power.
Sure.
At the establishment.
Well, I think that's the funniest part about these people, is that they want to destroy the establishment by making it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that logic just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, keep throwing money at it, and eventually it'll work. That's their exactly. mentality.
Well, that's what we do with our school system. The worst schools don't get shipped in better teachers. They just get shipped more money to be more mismanaged and spent.
New York is a prime example.
Yeah,
they're the highest tax rate for education in the in the country, and they're like middle of the country. So they pay, I think, the first or second overall in as far as how much money they invest in education, and they sit around 26th or 25th nationwide out of all 50 states.
Yeah,
right at the middle. So you spend the most, you're at the middle. Yeah. Usually, if you spend the most, you want to be at the top, but that's not how it happens.
Sure,
government waste is proven here. So, I mean, you being a younger, coming from the younger generation, I always like to point it out. Sorry, but it is, you know, you are from a different generation.
Sure, sure.
But I'm curious, what do you think, and people that I'm sure that you guys have talked about this, think about lowering the voting age to 16?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of conversations, you know, me, my friends, me and other people, even when I was running for legislator, I had people ask me about that because some people really believe that Nassau County controls the voting age. What do I think about it? Well, when I was 14, I had a job. And because I had a job, I was paying taxes. Mm-hmm. But I could not make any decisions about how the tax money was spent. That is a prime example of taxation without representation.
So I would be more for, stop taxing people under the age of 18.
Sure.
You know, rather than giving the option to vote. Because realistically, how much is a 14-year-old making? Nine times out of 10, they're getting paid off the books to begin with. But if they are on the books and they're working at McDonald's, they're paying taxes that, you know, you're just entering the workforce.
Right.
But not to go off topic, I do want to mention something.
Sure.
I was actually in a McDonald's the other day, traveling across the country. I stopped at a McDonald's, used the bathroom, grab a coffee, and I noticed something. And I think this all goes back to that $15 minimum wage. You know, there were no, and this is on a, it was on a weekend, so kids could be working, but everybody that was working at this McDonald's was in there. Upper 20s, early 30s, no youth. Me, my first job on the books was McDonald's. You know, I worked there up to swing manager, and, you know, that was where I learned how to have the responsibility to show up to work, you know, scheduled hours, making money, you know, and that's where I learned that. Our youth is not going to have that with this guaranteed, you know, they, you know, government's setting the bar so high. Who's going to want to hire kids when they could just hire somebody who's 30 who will take the job a lot more serious?
Sure.
So just wanted to bring that up. So the $15 and the higher minimum wage going across the country, McDonald's is automating stuff and then hiring people in their, you know, upper 20s, early 30s, even elder people I've seen working. You don't see the youth. And, you know, we'll have to touch that on the next episode. But you were talking a little bit about, I saw you tweeting about your issue with a certain university here on Long Island.
Long Island University, my favorite people in the world.
So I'm going to give you the opportunity to fill everybody in about what's going on here at Long Island University.
Sure. So I graduated from Long Island University last May with 2 4-year degrees, a degree in computer science and a degree in history. And during my final year of post, now during all 4 years of post, I watched as things got worse and worse. For students and for the faculty and for all of the low-level administrators on campus, limiting free speech, cutting classes, reworking administratively in ways that could never make sense for university. And in my final year, I joined the student government, and we fought for primarily free speech on campus. That ended with me being dragged into a disciplinary hearing 3 days before graduation.
Trying to kick you on the way out the door.
Yes. I was accused, get this, of passing out seditious pamphlets.
Pamphlets that were discussing free speech.
Pamphlets that were discussing free speech. Pamphlets that were discussing all of the issues with the university. They called them common sense. mm-hmm. in homage to Thomas Paine.
Right.
And I was accused of 6 months prior passing them out, which was not true anyway. I mean, I probably had those pamphlets. I read all of those pamphlets. I thought the pamphlets were great. And they dragged me into a disciplinary hearing, which never got resolved, and which the FIRE organization, what does FIRE stand for? Freedom, free, look them up. They're called, I think it's at thefire.org. And they're really great people, and they fight for free speech all over the country on campuses. And they fight for individual rights on campus. And they sent a letter on my behalf. But long story short, this organization put Long Island University on the top 10 list for worst schools for free speech in the United States in 2019. And they wrote about my story. And I really wish that people on Long Island would pay more attention to what's going on at the university. You know, just recently, you know, no one checks in on this woman, Kimberly Klein. She calls herself Dr. Klein, but she has an EDD. She's not a real doctor. And no one checks in on these people. No one watches what these people do. The politicians over in Brookville are in her pocket. And
oh, I gotcha. It's sure. thefire.org.
Yes.
Yes, I got it. So it's get involved. It's a experienced nonpartisan defending your rights organization. Then you could submit a case. They'll find a school. You know, and if you have an issue with any of your rights on campus, you could reach out to them, and they have legal resources, legislative and regulatory information, and basically, you could donate to them. Is this a nonprofit?
Yeah, I believe it's a nonprofit organization. They've okay. done a great job. They've written to LIU Post multiple times for multiple different students at this point.
And how much is tuition at Post, if you don't
mind? Base tuition when I left Post in my last year was $36,000. And that's without dorming, that's without everything else.
So $36,000. To go to a school for them to tell you that your free speech is not accepted on campus?
Well, and that's exactly it, you know? And it's not like they are, you know, at a lot of universities across the country, they're targeting right-wing professors and students on campus. At Post, you're just not allowed to talk about anything against the administration. Doesn't matter, coming from the left, coming from right, coming from anywhere. The woman is the definition of a fascist, this Dr. Kimberly Klein. Well, Dr. Kimberly Klein, doctor, for those of you listening, that those are my air quotes. And she's really just an absolute menace who's destroying the university, and no one on Long Island is paying attention to it. They just cut 18 programs, that's 18 majors from the university. And they're telling their students, oh yeah, don't worry, you'll still be able to graduate if you're in those majors. Who can graduate when you've cut their programs and the professors have to leave for new jobs?
Right.
And the whole university is just, it's being dismantled from the inside and no one is paying attention to it.
You know, what gets me is the fact that you spend all this money, and what are you getting out of it at the end?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, at most schools, you have to fight for your grades. At LIE Post, you have to fight just to be able to take classes. Because if your program doesn't have enough students in it, you know, like if they cut your program, then there are no classes for you. And you have to run like a chicken without a head all over campus trying to get someone to give you a straight answer about what class can I take instead? And what do I do if I can't take a class? And it's really insane.
Well, it seems to be a mismanagement, and there needs to be a change at the head of the organization. Well,
and the scary part is, it's going to end up the same way Dowling ended up a few years ago. Dowling's gone. All the students just read it in the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no announcement. There was nothing. All the students overnight had to find a new university in the middle of August.
My father went to Dowling University, played soccer there in the 70s. So, like, you know, it was very prestigious university back in the day. They had an aviation school.
Sure.
You know, and it's gone, and it just shut down, and like no warning, killed the economy locally over in Oakdale, because a lot of the economy depended on students going to that school and spending their money there. So I'm gonna
I'm looking at this website. It looks pretty interesting.
It's called thefire.org. If you are on a college campus, if you do go to, you know, Post or any other university and there is any issues, you can definitely reach out to the organization.
And let me tell you, they get back right away. I emailed them one afternoon. They emailed me back in less than an hour, and they were ready to help me out.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out and see about doing an interview with somebody from the administration, putting them on my other podcast, The Exchange. We'll see if we can get some information out there about a little bit more about the fire.org. Check it out. I want to remind everybody, if you are listening to this program, you can also watch it on YouTube, and you can subscribe on YouTube channel and catch this video version of the episode. So, listen, Bernie Sanders, he's on pace to do some damage here, and I hope he fails. Bloomberg needs to get his act together. Otherwise, we will have a socialist president. I think Joe Biden's campaign is dead. And I don't think you should lower the age to 16, because, like I said, I didn't know when I was 16. But Jake, you know, had made some good points.
I absolutely do. It's A, it's taxation without representation, and B, 90% of people, no matter what age you are, don't know what's going on in our government.
That is a good point. Even adults don't know what's going on in our government. So that is, sorry, so two valid points. People don't know what the hell is going on. And then the other valid point would be taxation without representation. But, you know, in all honesty, why are we taxing a 14-year-old that's making $100 every 2 weeks working his job to begin with? Then I would say get rid of taxes for anybody under the age of 18.
I'd say get rid of taxes.
Yeah, well, we would all love to get rid of taxes. I have to actually start getting my taxes together to do my freaking filing this month. And don't forget, if you don't pay by April, the government will garnish your wages and take your money anyway. So you cannot defeat government.
And lock you in prison so you can't make money to pay them back.
Stop giving them the power. Stop giving them more power. Voting people like Bernie Sanders in is not the answer. You know, less government is the answer. And that's why we do the podcast like this one here on American Liberty. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you give the show a rating. And if you watched it, give a comment. We like comments. And if you have any questions or want us to talk about a certain subject, just let us know through the comment section. And me and Jake will address it in the future. One more thing before I wrap up. Something that needs to be paid attention to. Just check it out. Up in Buffalo, there's a debate with the 27th Congressional District up in, I think the debate is actually being held by the Buffalo News, Channel 4 News up in Buffalo. There is a third party candidate, Dwayne Whitmer. I interviewed him on this podcast last year. Great guy. He is a, you know, by trade, he's an accountant, but he served in the Navy. He's a veteran, and he is running for Congress as well. He's been raising money. He announced his candidacy a long time ago, and they have shunned him out of this debate. Once again, the Democratic and the Republican establishment will not allow the people to hear a third-party voice. The Libertarian Party is an official party in the state of New York. They have ballot access for 2 years, not four, as they were promised. Now it's down to two because they changed the rules. They moved the goalposts further back, went from 50,000 votes to now I believe it's up to 150,000 votes. Yep. We need in every 2 years. Yep. So that means in 2020, we need to get 150,000 votes statewide to remain a party, an official party on the state to get ballot access. So they've changed the rules, and now they won't even let our candidates debate. So I recommend, even if you don't live there, but you are a libertarian, you are somebody who believes in less government and hearing other options other than the main two. Listen, I may vote Republican, I may vote Democrat, I may vote, it doesn't matter. I just want to hear all the options and make that choice. I'm an individual, and the rest of us are just individuals, and we have to have that option and stop this two-party status quo system. It's happening once again. So I recommend check out Dwayne Whitmer's campaign, you know, see what he's all about, make a contribution if you can, and make it known to the people up in Buffalo that this is not acceptable, that there needs to be third, fourth, fifth parties, other options that are allowed to debate so we can hear everybody's ideas and make an actual educated choice. And that's how I want to end this show. Sorry I had to do that ranting at the end, but it pissed me off because I know Dwayne is a good guy.
Sure.
And he's a great candidate, and he's not going to get the you know, he's not going to get seen on TV because they decided he didn't make the cut as per the rules, but they won't explain what the rules are. What kind of, you know, crap is that? So check out Dwayne Whitmer's campaign if you do get a chance. And me and Jake will be back with you on the next episode of American Liberty. I'll talk to you later, guys.